thank the Lord for being here. I think it would be proper where I start the message to congratulate Brother Willie and Sister Nita on their 50th anniversary. We're so glad we could be here for that. We want to have our messages on lively stones. Put this on the board. Lively stones. I still have an inspiration about the Church of God. I may read some of the things I read before in Sepulpa, but it's okay. I feel like God really wants me to emphasize more on the Church of God and also about lively stones and the vision of the church. But we want to read the scripture that was read this morning in 1 Peter 2 and 5. They read some of that. Up above a little bit, I'd like to read, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded." You know, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Isn't Jesus Christ precious? "But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye," and we want to emphasize on the church this morning, those that are saved. If you're not saved, you can be in his church. You can get saved and be a lively stone. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Don't you think that sometimes they think the saints are kind of like a peculiar people? But, you know, really we're the people of God. We've been blood washed. We've been saved. We've been sanctified with the Holy Spirit. We don't live in sin anymore. And God blesses our lives. It's a wonderful thing that he's put this work upon us and made us a lively stone. And the Lord wants us to be clear and clear and just polished and let him work on us. And there's never a time that we can stop working on ourselves or let God work on us and be perfected in holiness. That's what he wants to do. And it says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." We are living in a holy nation. The Church of God is a holy nation. It's separate from the world. God has called us to be holy saints of God. And we are separate. And we are not just a church among churches, but we are the true church. And what I'm saying, everybody that's saved, when we go over this, I know we hear it. Many of us have heard it, but some people haven't. But there's other people in other churches that are saved. They're in our church. The only church. There's only one church. It's not our church, but it's God's church. But you know what I'm saying? It's not this building, but it's everybody that is saved and sanctified are in God's church. He only has one church. He only has one. But we're so thankful that there's other people that are saved that we don't know, and we may never know in this life. But they are in his church, and they will make up his bride someday, and they will get to go to heaven. But he is requiring us to be a lively stone. You know, to be alive is different than being dead, isn't it? To be alive is vibrant, like we heard this morning, value things, we work at things, we keep ourselves stirred up, we read, we pray, we go to service, we do everything that we can do, whatever calling God's given us, we work at that, we do it. You know, it's something, it's lively. It's not just mediocre or but it's lively. I want to encourage us to be lively and be exuberant, be happy, be joyful, come to service with a testimony on Wednesday nights. You know, you may not testify every time you have a big congregation, but have something. Ask God to give you something and share it, and don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let the enemy accuse you. He's accuser of the brethren, but don't let him do that to you. Be a lively stone in his church. Be a blessing until you draw your last breath. Be what God wants you to be. It says, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtain mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So we want to talk about the church of God and being a lively stone. Praise God. You know, I got this inspiration about, we might want to just go ahead and turn to that in Matthew. But this scripture I thought about a lot, and Matthew 16, Jesus was talking to Peter. And in the 13th verse, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I'm going to ask us this morning, who do you believe Jesus Christ is? He's the Son of God, isn't he? And who do we believe that he can cause us to be a lively stone in God's church? Do we believe that he can make us what he wants us to be? And he can work on us. And this is what God wants us to do. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter was not the rock. Jesus is the rock. He's talking to Peter, but he says, but he used Peter as a lively stone. That's what Peter was. Peter, the name in Greek, and Peter means stone. Also, there the Lord called, and I think it's 1 John 42, if I'm not right, or St. John 42. He also called him Cephas. He said, Jesus called him Cephas, which also means stone. And, you know, God really blessed Peter's life. I mean, he was really blessed and used of God. But God wants to bless all of our lives. And he is blessing our lives. And he's helping us every day. Praise God. Just love how the Lord talks to us and deals with us. And yes, St. John 1 and 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So it says very plainly that Peter was a stone. He wasn't the rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's our rock. He's the foundation. But he used Peter. He used his disciples. He uses us today. The disciples have been dead in this world how many years? But he raises up people to be saints of God, to be ministers, to be gospel workers, to be Sunday school teachers. He works with people to be writers, whatever God has called you to do, or singers, whatever. He wants you to do your very best and be a lively stone. A lively stone. Put your all into it. You know, I like we heard this morning, that it's so good to have values and put your all into it. Because when you put your all into living for God, you get a greater blessing out of it. You get such a greater blessing. And, you know, I was unexplained how I feel in my heart and my soul, but it's such a great blessing to do God's will. Don't hold back on God's will. Don't hold back on what God wants you to do. Don't hold back on your consecration. Be a Peter. Well, I'm not like Peter. Peter was so great. But we can be like Peter. Yes, we can. We can be faith. We can have faith in God. We can follow him. We might not be exactly like Peter. We can be ourselves. But what I mean is we can be excited about the church and be a lively stone for God. And it says here, it says, flesh and blood hasn't done this, revealed this to you. It was my Father in heaven. I, upon this rock, Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Dear saints, you listen. the church will never fall. Not God's true church will never fall. People fall. People fall. People backslide. But God will always have a church. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can Jesus fall? Did he not rise from the dead? Is he still living in heaven making intercession for us? Well, if he can't fall, then the church can't fall because we're his bride. I thank the Lord today. I want to read some scriptures to back up about Jesus being the rock. And, you know, I think about this morning of when the Lord gives me inspiration like this, it's like line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. There's something about hearing the word of God over and over and teaching it over and over that gets in our minds and gets in our lives. And I believe that God wants me to inspire the saints about the church of God, about what that we are different, that we are his church. And Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord is my rock. And the first verse says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Jesus is my strength. He is my rock. I'm standing on the rock, like that song. I'm standing on the rock eternal. Praise God. He is the rock. And Psalm 62:2, and I know there's probably even more, but anyway, Psalm 62:2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. When you're standing on a rock, you're standing on a strong foundation. We want to build this up so we understand completely that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians. I just am so encouraged about this. You know, can we get excited about the Bible? Yes. Can we get excited about the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed him, and that rock was Christ. If you build your life as a spiritual lively stone on that rock of Christ, people may disappoint you, people may fall, people may even backslide that you once were close to. But if you build your life on Jesus Christ, that rock, you will not fall. And you will stay encouraged to the day you die. You will be right there fighting the spiritual battle, being what God wants you to be. You'll still stand. Not because you're so great, not because you're so strong, but we can be strong in Christ. He is our rock. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:9-11. Be a spiritual stone for the Lord. I just want to encourage you this morning. 3:9-11. It says, for we are laborers together with God. See, this is what it is. Jesus is the foundation, but he uses men and women to preach his gospel. He uses people. And we are workers with him. It says, we are workers with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He doesn't need, we thank God for this building. But the true spiritual building, we are God's building. We are his church. You know, if we get this deep in our souls, we won't be led away with every wind of doctrine. We won't be going somewhere else. We'll be staying right there with the saints and being faithful if we get this in our soul and heart and mind that is true. We our labors together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, now listen to this, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. He's everything. Jesus is everything. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that rose from the dead. and went back to heaven, and he gave his disciples, and he said, and Peter, he gave his disciples a commission. And they were faithful to that, and they did his work. And God wants us to do his work. I thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord. I want to turn over to Acts a little bit here. And Acts, I can't read all of it, but first chapter of Acts, when Jesus rose and went up into heaven, I want to read just a little bit of that first. It says, he told them, he said in the seventh verse, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now these were some of the last words that Jesus said, that you must have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Dear ones, if you're saved today and you're not sure if you're sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to seek the Lord until you know you have the Holy Ghost within you. But the last words that Jesus said, it's that important. We must have power that we don't have in our human strength to stay saved. In our human strength, we fail if without God. But when he sanctifies us and the Holy Spirit comes within us, it gives us such power to live a holy life for 50 years. For 50 years. Yes, I can say I made some mistakes, but I haven't sinned. How can anybody do that? It's only because of Jesus Christ that we can live free from sin. We cannot teach people this, and we cannot live this without Jesus. But he gives us power. And when he left his disciples, he told them, you should receive power. And what happened? And when he had spoken these things, you know, we just had Easter not very long ago. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This was the risen Savior. And he was going up into the cloud, going up. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They return, and I want to get off on this too much, but I want to mention this. There's so much about now. We're in the end of time. Yes, we're in the time. A rapture is going to come. We're going to be raptured, but we're going to be raptured the correct way. Jesus is coming in the air just like he left, and he's not setting foot on this ground. And it said, the dead in Christ will rise first, and the others will meet him and go up into the air and meet him there. That's our rapture. It's not this millennial reign and all this is not even in the Bible. The word millennial is not even in the Bible. We've got to know, Jesus said, and Peter also, that the works and their end will be burned up. The world and everything in it is going to be burned up. Yes, we're going to be raptured and everything then is going to be burned up. So if we know that these things are going to be dissolved, what carefulness should be wrought in us? Oh, I tell you, saints, I believe it with all my soul, my mind, my heart. As I'm standing by this pulpit, I know it's going to come true. And I want to be ready. I want to keep ready. I want to be a lively stone. I don't want to think because I've been saved 50-some years that it's time to slow down and not be lively. I want to be lively as I can possibly be in the church of God. That's right. That's right. We can do it. We will do it. She's smiling. Well, I like to see smiles because praise the Lord. You know we can do it. We can be lively stones in his church. We can be what God wants us to be. Right now, if God's talking to you, is there anywhere that you could do better? We can all do better. Let the Lord talk to us. Let the Lord move us. Let's get something out of this, dear ones. You know, one person said to me one time, one of the saints said to me, we're going through this world. We might as well be happy. We might as well be happy. Because we're going through this world, and you might as well be happy with your wife, your husband, No matter how long you've been married, I'm so happy with him. Yes, I'll be happy with him. I think, well, I got to be married to him, so I got to be happy. No, I can be happy, and you can be happy with me. We can enjoy it. And we do. And we try to find things to do together to enjoy our life together. And we can be happy with the saints. Oh, the saints, I've known them for years. I see their faces all the time. I've heard that preacher preach before. No, let's not get an attitude like that. Let's be happy with them. Like, oh, I'm so glad to see that brother and sister. I'm so glad to see their face again. They have helped me get to heaven. I had a message not long ago in Wichita. Help us get to heaven. Help each other get to heaven. Do you know all those people in your life have helped you get to heaven? Well, some of them have been kind of hard for me. Well, that was perfection too. God used it to perfect you. It did. He used it. He can use it to perfect you. Not everything is rosy. The rose has thorns on it. There's some things that is that way. But God can still make you happy and make you lively. Praise the Lord. I want to be lively. I want to be lively all the way until I'm gone. I just want to be lively. I want to be lively. I want to be a stone. I want to be a stone for God. I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to be encouraged in the Lord. And by grace, we can do it. Praise the Lord. In Acts 2, it says here, over here in Acts 2, we want to read a little bit. Now, Jesus, you know what? All the upper room, you know, they all went to the upper room after that. After Jesus went, they had a job to do. They had to go to the upper room. They had to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And all these things happened. And you know what? Peter started preaching. And he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." What wonderful words. What wonderful words. That's the 21st verse from going too fast, the second chapter. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." This is the mighty Jesus. And he goes on and he starts preaching to them. And in the 38th verse, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Now listen, dear people here today, if you ever, ever, ever need help, remember, Jesus is the one. He's the one to help you get saved. He's the one to encourage you. It may be your last words you say when you're dying is Jesus, but remember, Jesus is the one, okay? Jesus is the one that can give you the victory. He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, which was us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word. You know, dear ones, the preacher preaches, and it's your responsibility, and my responsibility, to hear my own preaching, to hear my own word, to hear the word of God in my heart. Then it says, the word was received. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter, he got full of the Holy Ghost, and he was encouraged, and he went out preaching until he died. And they said he died on the cross like Jesus, but he said, not just like Jesus, he said, "Turn me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus." But, you know, I believe God helped him. I believe God took his pain away. I believe God helped him through it. You know, I just really believe that. I believe God helped all the disciples. They, you know, the reason that they were so bold for God, because they saw Jesus. And they saw Jesus after he resurrected. And they saw him going up in the cloud. And, you know, we haven't seen those things, but we believe them. And we are blessed. It said, "Blessed are those that believe that have not seen." But, you know, they seen all those, and they were so full of the Holy Ghost. because they had seen Jesus rose from the dead. Now, we can just say those words, but listen, that was powerful to know, see Jesus die on the cross and die and be buried and come out of that tomb and talk to them and tell them what to do and also tell them, when I go back, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And it happened. And all these things happened to them. They marveled. I talk about the song she sang this morning. There's mysteries in life. It was a great, there's some mysteries, but you know, it was the truth and it was powerful. And they believed in Christ and they could do all things that Christ strengthened them to preach God's gospel. Isn't it the same with us? When we get saved and we're sanctified and God does so much for us, it gives us the courage to go and tell the story, tell the gospel story. And you know, saints, I'm just telling you, I know that the saints of God, this is the true church. What we teach and preach, and what I'm saying, there's other people saved. I'm not saying just our little group is the only ones going to heaven. But the thing about our group is we know the truth. We know the Bible. We teach the Bible correctly. We do not teach people that they can live in sin and go to heaven. We teach it correctly, that you got to be saved from your sins. We teach that you got to be baptized and immersed and not just sprinkle some water on you. We teach that you got to live a holy life. And we teach about the Holy Spirit correctly, being sanctified, dead to your sins, and alive with God. We teach it correctly. That is what's so precious about the saints of God. It's the true church because they teach it right. It's not that that we look down on other people. I love other people. I love people. And I want God to help them all. And I understand all that. But I understand one thing. It's very important that we teach and preach the Bible correctly. Correctly. And if we've heard it all our life about the Church of God, we still need to keep hearing it. Amen. We still need to keep hearing it. And not only hearing it, but understanding it and believing it and knowing it. And be faithful to God and be a lively stone for God. He doesn't want us to go around being discouraged. He doesn't want us to go around being weak. He wants us to be strong in the Lord. He wants to seek God in your closet of prayer. Get a hold of something. Get a hold of some inspiration. Get a hold of something. We've got the best thing in the world, dear ones. The best understanding of the scriptures. We are the true church. God has called us out of sectism. He's called us out of worldliness. He's called us out of all those things to shine forth and be lively stones. He wants us to be lively stones for God. And we will. We will do it by His grace. We will give it our all. We're going to keep being encouraged. We're going to keep going on for God. You know, I bring up Sister Clay, but Sister Clay is 78 years old, and she goes, and she works, and she preaches, and she travels, and she's a little feeble in her body, but God gives her strength, but she loves the Lord. Talk to her sometimes. She loves the Lord. And I'm not just trying to hold her up, but what I'm trying to say is we can kind of get thinking, you know, we're getting older, it's time to retire. We don't retire in God's work. We don't retire in God's work. We got to keep on going as long as we can do it. As long as He gives us a healthy body, it's for a reason. To preach His word. Teach the truth, saints. We have got the best thing. God has saved us and gave us understanding of the true church. Let's tell it to the people. Let's be what God wants us to be. You know, the best way that we can help people to come to the church is be lively. Be lively. And I'm not saying just work up emotion, but have something in you. Have something to give. What did Peter say? And in the third chapter, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. Third chapter of Acts. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. It's a sad story in a way, and it turned into a glorious story. He was begging for money. He was crippled. And he's asking Peter and John for some money. And they said, Peter said, casting his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Be a lively stone, that you can do that. Silver and gold have I none. Immediately, he was expecting money from them, but they gave him so much more than money can buy. They gave the inspiration of God. God healed him, but God used them because they were his ministers. They were his disciples. He worked through them, and he said, we've got something. We've got something in here, and we can give it to you, and we can help you. Do you know people are hungry today for help? They want help. They want help. They want strength. They want help. And we have got it, dear ones, but we must keep ourselves encouraged. We must keep ourselves lively. You understand me? Praise the Lord. We have to keep ourselves. We have to work on ourselves. The enemy comes along. Oh, you know, are you a bit little sad today? He comes along, the enemy. No, I don't want to be sad. I want to be happy. So you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm happy. In the name of Jesus, this is going to be a good day. You know, I went out on the patio this morning. I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I had ironed up things ahead of time, so I was kind of pretty well prepared, you know. I studied my Bible again last night, and I looked over it again on the way up here and all and prayed. But I was pretty well prepared. But I went on the patio to sit in the cool air. It was so beautiful. And the Lord gave me that song, Fairest Lord Jesus. I found it on the phone, and I'll just read some of the words. But what I want to say is lively. It's lively. Songs are lively. They can encourage you, you know. But Fairest Lord Jesus, I'll just read some of the words. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fair still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garbs of spring that we're in right now. Jesus is fair, Jesus is pure, who makes a wonderful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, beautiful sunshine after the rain. Fair still the moonlight and all the twinkling stars. Jesus shines brighter than that. Jesus shines purer than that. All the angels. Heaven can boast, but there's more to it. But if you want to look up that song sometime, but what I'm trying to say is the Lord blessed me that song for I came and I sent it to my children and my grandchildren and I sent it to my brother in West Virginia. And my brother was doing, he was out, he's a deacon there at his church. He was out trying to help people park. And, you know, he's so sweet. I have one brother. And he said, you sent that song right when I needed it. I was listening to the song while I was directing people to park at the church parking lot. He said, the sun shined down upon me, Marcia, and the Lord blessed me with that song. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that the Lord encouraged me to do that. And you know, it was a blessing. But you pray for me because I want to be faithful. I don't want you ever to say, Marcia's not faithful. She's not preaching. No, I want to preach. I want to be faithful. I want to encourage you that if I go to heaven before you do, that you can think that she was faithful. Not because I want to be proud about it. Because I want to encourage you that you can go to heaven. That you can be faithful. You can get something out of this. I tell you, people, I chose lots of things in life that we can get joy out of. But there's nothing like getting the joy out of being a real true Christian and having God talk to you. You know that song that ever said, when my Savior talks with me? When Jesus talks with us, the dearest friend can talk to us, it won't be as good as when Jesus talks to us. That's right. When Jesus talks to you, know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's so sweet. It's so precious when he talks to you. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing greater than being a lively stone for the Lord. I want to read just a little bit more. I want to share this with you. I read it to some I haven't heard, but this is about a stone. In the Birth of Reformation on page 290, I'll tell a little bit and then I'll read, but Sister Fisher and Brother Fisher was trying, they were trying to understand, they were coming with Brother Warner, and they was trying to understand about the true church. She had a dream and a vision, and Sister Fisher was given a vision. She was wondering if she should cut loose from all the human organizations. And so she has this dream. It was of a tower, which she and others were constructing with stones that were piled about them in heaps. Now, saints, we are his stones that he's working. We're his stones in his church. The foundation was already laid, which was Jesus, and they were engaged on the superstructure. Their work was being to polish the stones. Ministers, preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, whatever, we're to help polish the stones, to preach the word that the word can take root in people's lives. And it says, when polished, the stones were clear as crystal. You know, the Lord can help us. He wants us to be clear as crystal. That's right. Not one sin, not one thing in our soul, just clear as crystal. That's what he wants, a stone like that. Have you ever looked at a piece of crystal or something that was clear that you could see right through it? It was so beautiful. It was so clear. That's what the Lord... They were asked where they got such beautiful stones. When they were polished, the stones were as clear as crystal. She replied, they were simply such stones as could be found anywhere. Dear ones, I was found just anywhere. You know where I was found? I was found in Michigan. I was found... A young girl in Michigan that did not know anything about the Church of God. And I prayed for the right husband, and I prayed for the true church, and I met Jerry when I wasn't saved, but we were both saved before we got married. I was just found somewhere there. These stones can be found anywhere, but when polished with the Word of God and the understanding of the truth, and when they're saved and sanctified, these stones can be polished and made clear as crystal. It's not us, but it's the work upon us through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. The work upon us. Yes, that's what it is. And it says here, their beauty was brought out through the work that was put upon them. The capstone or headstone was also perfectly clear, but it had a blood red spot in the center which shone and which shed rays of light like streaks of blood down through all the tower. The vision seemed to her so wonderful. When she woke up in full consciousness, she said, Lord, what is it? He answered, this is my church. Now, I won't read all these scriptures, but you can look this up. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 18, Ephesians 2:20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 3:9. We might have read some of that. But what is so remarkable, they had ordered some books, The Shepherd of Hermas, and they got delivered that very day. That was a book that was written in the second century, and it had the same vision that Sister Fisher had. I'm excited about this. I am excited about this. And so, you know, there's some facts that can prove, if we study in the history, that prove that we are God's church. I thank the Lord today for you being with me and listening to this message. We can be lively stones in his church. And I thank God that he ever brought me to the Church of God. I want to be faithful. Pray for me.